Okay, we're starting to dance in the studio, which means it is time for the Aging Well Together show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, since November is National Family Caregivers Month, in honor of all of the family caregivers, including myself, today's show is all about the resources to help families support their loved ones, and that's been our theme all month, and I will call your attention to last week's show that was about general resources, but today's show is all about those living with dementia in our community, so I'm so excited to turn it over soon to our special guest. I am excited for all of the information we'll learn together, but before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through streaming services. So many thanks for listening to us. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging. And this week we have one of the fantastic team members who's joining us. And you can join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss or to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us, which means you can email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, all one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. And we'll be saying that I have a feeling a few times today since we're going to be talking about Orange County resources. I'm also excited that all of our recorded shows are finally now on the Orange County Department on Aging's website. I've said finally now, but they've been up for about a month or so. So when you go to the website, that's orangecountync.gov/aging. Depending on how your screen looks, on the left side, you'll see a bunch of resources, and one of them says Aging Well Together Radio Show. And you can click on it, and there's a link to our radio shows for the past 23 shows. This is our 24th show. Okay. Wow. And a shout out, about to do a shout out to Alicia, who you just heard her, a shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their original music. You heard just a moment in the beginning, but you'll be able to listen to it more at the end. And for Robert Bradford Quartet fans, and Alicia, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. We have secured them for January 11th. They are coming and are going to perform live in our studio. None of this coming in and playing something off their CD. No, they are coming to perform live. So we're going to be rocking out.
Hand claps.
Oh, we need a sound machine.
I know.
Let's ask Santa for a sound machine for our show. Okay. And so you're hearing Alicia. Welcome, Alicia Reed, our returning co-host, wellness instructor extraordinaire, and amazing civically minded volunteer. Alicia, tell our audience why you have not been on my show or your own show for the past few weeks.
I've been missing MIA. Where have I been?
Where have you been?
Where have I been?
You've been helping people vote, Alicia.
Voting, early voting. Don't forget to vote. We are expecting February, the end of February.
Oh, I thought you said don't forget to vote. I said if they're listening to it now, they forgot to vote. It's November 16th.
I know, but We're already working on this last 2 weeks of February.
Okay.
But thank you for bringing that up. I did do early voting, and maybe I'll do it again. But if you forgot to vote, don't forget to vote in the upcoming.
There's voting in February. You're already
early voting.
Okay. I didn't even know that. Okay, great. So, Alicia, welcome back. Wonderful to have you here. Now we're just going to turn it in. Forget about dementia. We're going to talk about voting and civic engagement. But we are here to talk about social engagement. All right. I need to turn it over to our guest. If you haven't already figured this out, I am Heather Altman. I am your returning host. Happy to be here.
Welcome
back, Heather. Welcome back, me. I was here last week, but I was busy advocating for family caregivers in D.C. How's that for a reason to miss our show. And then I had a family meeting and a family wedding in Oklahoma. But I missed a few shows, but I was back last week. I'm back now. I was thinking about coming in for Thanksgiving. I was seeing if the kids want to come in. So,
oh, that would be good.
I know. All right. But right now, we're going to have a recorded show on Thanksgiving. We're replaying
our
family resources, unless I can talk my girls into coming while we are burning turkey. But I will be here November 30th with a great panel from UNC Geriatrics to talk about their supportive programs. I care about these things because I work with individuals and families in the community, helping them find support, and I am a family caregiver, as I said, myself. And I always like to say I own my age. I am 53 years old.
I am 64.
I am 56.
Oh, here we go. I'm the baby here. Yeah, okay, so
we are all caregivers.
And we're all caregivers. So we are celebrating ourselves this month. And I care deeply about how we are all aging well together. So with that, I have got to turn it over and let my friend who has, I have a longtime friend here, and she likes to talk like I do. So this is the cruelest thing that I have not let you say much into the microphone yet. Allison Smith, who is here from the Orange County Department on Aging. Allison has too many dementia support certifications to list, but I promise there are a bunch of them. I think I lost count after four. She is the Aging Transitions Program Coordinator and is here to tell us all about the wonderful new and continuing social engagement programs here in Orange County. I'm going to stop now. Allison, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia and Heather, for inviting me here and letting me talk about the social engagement programs.
I know. We're going to dive into that. Mm-hmm. But before you talk about what you do with other people, not for other people, but with other people, we always like to ask our guests to tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the, I know she didn't know this, how did you get into the aging and helping professions?
Well, I've been working in the aging profession for about a dozen years now. Mm-hmm. I kind of started in it when I was a renal dietitian. I dealt with chronic.
So your RD is renal dietitian?
Yeah, I was a renal dietitian.
I saw the RD and I thought that was registered dietitian.
Oh, no. It's a registered dietitian, but a clinical renal dietitian. So, you know, that's long-term care. Mm-hmm. It tends to be seniors from hypertension or diabetes. So 7 years of that ongoing relationship, seeing them 2 to 3 times a week, and then going into some other little rabbit holes of careers. But then where I met Heather was at Carol Woods.
We worked together.
Yes,
that's
we
when
did.
We fell in love. Our beginning of our love story. And yes. I feel like it was like, I've lost track of time. It was 10 years ago or more, 12.
Yeah.
How many?
Going into working at Carol Woods and joining the family there, because it's a family environment.
It is.
Was me going back into working with seniors. So I've just learned so much about that chapter in life and how much I love the authenticity, the wisdom. It's where I'm heading, and I'm passionate about it, just like you, Heather.
Okay. And so I remember hearing whispers from Janice Tyler saying, hey, Allison Smith is going to be coming here. Do you know her? And I was like, oh. I love Allison. And then, like always, you are such a learner and grower. It's like every few months, here's a new initiative. Let's have Allison run it.
Oh. You know, that is definitely me. I have a big entrepreneurial streak in me. Mm-hmm. And I did work with Roxanne Quimby at Burt's Bees for 7 years, and we grew that. And it really informed my energy of, I don't say, can that be done? I say, how do we do it?
Right.
Oh, look at, well, okay,
right.
See, this is, we've done this a few times. Like, you know, let's just have this show be about inspirational and motivational things.
That's
all right, so how can we do it? All right. So then somehow Janice was able to bring you in, and you have, well, I want to Burt's Bees this. I want to butterfly. Like somehow you butterflied there. I don't know. You kept evolving there.
Yeah. Well, it's all the same. So I did have to leave renal dietetics because it had gotten really stressful. I wanted a fresh start. So my husband was the art director working with the founder and owner, and she's like, oh my God, I love your energy, come work for me. And I could not believe all they worried about was shelf space for lip balm. Like, we were like saving lives, people coding, right?
And they're trying to save space.
I do really love their lip balm. And when my dad was really sick in the ICU and I flew there and I didn't have my stuff, I actually went to CVS and or Walgreens or something. And I bought the Burt's Bees. They're really kind of moisturizing. And it was the most wonderful lip balm helping me through. So we should get them to be a sponsor.
Yes.
So it is weird how we take care of ourselves as caregivers. And I'm really not joking. And I bought a 3-pack and I really struggled because it was a little expensive.
Right,
I thought, I'm going to
get it anyway.
And it really did help me. Okay, go on. Yeah. So shelf space.
She ended up. Roxanne is an amazing philanthropist and is very huge with the environment. She's created a national park in Maine. So that was a very rewarding 7 years of my life as well, because we were doing something really, really important. She wasn't putting that money towards any kind of self-gain. She was buying land.
Environmental.
Yeah.
Right.
And so after the sales and marketing, I went into fundraising, which was just like sales and marketing, except it was more people relations, because it's all about, you know, helping people find joy, relate. That's why we're here. So I love... Yes. Doing things like that, but I did leave fundraising after 6 years to work with aging again. And actually, fundraising kind of introduced me. A couple of our donors lived at Carol Woods. People who have really achieved a lot in their life want to give back. So it kind of was, I was dealing with the seniors then too.
I was going to say full circle or something. Okay. Right. So and then you learned that our wonderful Orange County Department on Aging had an opening.
Well, I was volunteering there. So the reason why I knew is I was volunteering, and Janice and I, of course, connected like that. And she said, these things don't open up very often. I want you to apply. No, she didn't say that. But she said, you should. You'd be a really good fit. And so I did. And I was a really good fit. It felt a little like Carol Woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a family. Mm-hmm. So you go and you know me.
Yeah.
I like a lot of challenges. I like to make a big impact. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like to know the big picture. So I don't want to just know about one little division. Mm-hmm. I want to know about the whole department, because
that
interesting.
It informs you and helps you do better in all areas.
Right.
Okay. So then... Now we're going into your roles there, because then that will get into the roles that you're going to tell folks about here. So then what did you come in doing, and then how did that transform into what you're doing now? Because you were volunteering, and then did you come in your job to run the volunteer program? I'm not sure which.
I was the volunteer coordinator.
Yes.
And so that's recruiting and training and matching, placing, and appreciating all of your volunteers, which is very, very similar to fundraising, right? You're making
true.
That, yeah. What is passionate for them? I don't want to have somebody helping at the lunch table when they really want to be an advocacy
exactly.
group. You want to find out it's a partnership. So they have to get something from it, and as well as give. And so that was my first stint there. But then I started running volunteer programs. I ran the volunteer driver program.
That's right. Okay, go on. Yes. And we've had Brandy on, and we've
yes.
to talk about the transportation. We've had Sinead
Brandy.
On to talk about the volunteer program. So actually, you're one of, we've been waiting a while to have you on. You know, it was like, okay.
Yeah. So it's amazing. You have these people in the community for the volunteer driving. You heard all about that from Brandy, but that's a big gift.
Yes.
Big gift. Now we're doing social engagement programs. Mm-hmm. So we have volunteers come and provide...
Okay, so now we're getting into it. I feel like we need a drum roll.
Okay.
This is what we're here to really talk about, which is the social engagement. I felt like you were just sliding right into it. I felt like I needed to stop you and say, okay, this is what we're excited to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
The social engagement program specifically around dementia. Now I'll let you keep speaking. Allison, tell us about those programs.
All right. So there were iterations of these programs that existed pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
post-COVID, we had a white canvas, like everybody. Mm-hmm. You got to look at what went well, mm-hmm. what maybe needed to be updated,
tweaked.
How it needed to be tweaked. So enters me. Right?
All right.
So what we
did... Enter Allison into the room.
Bring Allison into the room. With
Cue.
But the department all works together.
Right.
So nothing at the Department on Aging happens
right.
in and of itself.
Right.
It we all are there and supporting each other. So this lives in aging transitions. So there's a lot of clinical... social workers there. Mm-hmm. There's an occupational therapist mm-hmm. there.
Yes, we've had a great show on aging transitions
with
team. I think
Kendall.
With Kendall and Kim. I think it was episode 6. And mm-hmm. then Kendall was here last week for episode 20.
Kendall is my superstar. She mm-hmm. is my superstar because she runs the support group for my Our Place Care
yeah.
Partners.
Yeah, she was good. No dementia over there.
No. She's got some cognitive resilience.
I have notes
kicking.
In front of me. Don't, the 6 was impressive, but the other ones. Okay. So then talk about the program. Sorry.
Okay. So what I'll go. There's 3 basic programs that we do for social engagement. Mm-hmm. The first is a little abstract, and that's called the Dementia Friendly Communities. Mm-hmm. And that's us going out in the community and trying to get rid of stigma and educating folks on supporting and embracing and welcoming people who live with dementia and their care partners. And we have really changed up our way we train. We inform it now with US Aging and Dementia Friendly USA. We have these fantastic videos that portray actual people living in the community with dementia. And they're fabulous.
They're good. They're not the old stuff.
No. People who get diagnosed with dementia are still the same person mm-hmm. 5 minutes that they were 5 minutes before they got that diagnosis. They still have the personality, yes. the family history. Some of them still finished the New York Times that morning. Some of them are still driving. And once somebody is diagnosed with dementia, people all of a sudden treat them like they don't have
exactly.
a thought in their head.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so that is what we are going out there and correcting.
Changing that.
Yeah, and we show them that, and we have them do a bunch of engaging exercises, and it's just fabulous.
And who's the they? The people themselves with dementia and their care partners?
Nope.
Or is I know there's a business component to it. So.
Yeah, it used to be dementia-friendly businesses, and we went to businesses only.
I was one of the folks that did it, so that's
yes.
why I'm literally curious. I'm like, wait, how has it changed?
Right. So
since
it's changed
we've
because
had a pandemic since then.
Yes. Now I am working with a church I'm going to go into. Mm. I have done Mandarin-speaking communities. I'll go into a neighborhood. You know, we still do the libraries and the banks mm-hmm. and all of that, but that's not just the community. The community is everybody. We're more focused on creating dementia friends
yes.
instead of a dementia-friendly organization. We want both. So it's worked out really well because people who are working in these organizations that get these trainings get to go one step further and mm-hmm. be like, oh, I don't just have to do this while I'm at work. I can take this home with me. Mm-hmm. I can be the person who goes up to somebody who looks confused in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the employee at the grocery mm-hmm. store. Mm-hmm. So it's really done well. People have said things like, this is a game changer. Oh my gosh, we ask them to list things they'll do. They'll say, I am going to keep my eye open. I want to support mm-hmm. somebody. I don't want them to be scared. Mm-hmm. I want them to know I'm here for them.
Now I'm fascinated. I want to go through this training because I saw the
I'm looking at it like, wow.
I know. And can
because
we do the training on
we
air? Like, we'll have to think about if there's a way to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
And then in terms of, you had mentioned videos. Like,
right.
any of our listeners, can they go to the website right now
yes.
and watch these videos?
Yes. You can go to, I'll give them to you right now.
Oh, okay. Well, and I've already done is it not the Orange County?
Well, you can go to our,
website.
Of course,
we
are robust with resources for, we have dementia support groups. We have dementia trainings mm-hmm. at local, you know, at our senior centers and at libraries and stuff. And we have all kinds of good stuff. But what's informed my training is Dementia Friendly America, which is at www.dfamerica.org. And Dementia Friends, which is HTTPS, you know, the hashtag,
uh-huh.
DementiaFriendsUSA.org. Both of these have a ton of videos and resources.
You said USA.org?
USA.org. Yes, these are both national. This is a movement.
Dementia Friends USA.
Yep.
This is so good because
okay, that'll be fun. But the link, they can be linked to this from your website, Orange County.
Absolutely.
To the videos,
got it. So
right.
Then if folks don't have all of them. So that's the dementia friendly community.
Yes.
I was curious how it overlapped. And how do people get access to it? Like, can they call you and say, hey, my church or my neighborhood or my organization wants you to come.
Yes.
I want Allison. And they just, that's what they do.
I haven't even had to market.
Wow.
People come and ask.
Because they hear about it and they tell two friends. What we would like to do is do like train the trainer.
Right. Like you probably are familiar with because
there's only so many of you.
In reality.
Well, and that's another volunteer opportunity, you guys.
Alicia, let's get trained together and then we can do our little trainings and we'll bring microphones so that way we're like, we're comfortable in front of them.
Okay, you guys, I'm going to hold you to it.
Well, don't be teasing me. Well, I'm doing this now in the grocery stores. I just did it the other day. I see people, and they look a little confused, and I say, let me help you.
You're a dementia friend.
Mm-hmm. And then I where's your car? You don't know. I mean, where's your phone? Let's call. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do that.
Yes, me too.
And so there's like a few little tips and tricks that can empower folks to feel brave enough or the courage to do that. And it's not, they just need to know them.
Okay, so we're going for tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. This is our post-Thanksgiving holiday or January plan. Okay, good. Alicia and I have looked at each other.
I love it.
I know, and you literally know, like, where we are and how to get in touch with us, so we're committed.
Yes.
And we're bringing two people.
We committed to something recently. What else did we commit? Did we also commit? You're already a ship counselor. I know there was a few things that you're an overcommitter. I'm an overcommitter for things like that are jobs. You're an overcommitter for volunteer programs.
I'm overcommitted.
Okay,
that's okay.
Sorry, go on.
We're going to get you a little less committed so you can commit to this. Okay. So the next thing would be memory cafes.
Right.
That's another big movement.
Right.
Now, this is a care partner event. And what care partner means is you have your friend living with dementia and the loved one that cares for them.
Okay.
Often it's a spouse. Often it's a sibling. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a very good friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, sibling or child.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. So when you have a memory cafe, you're going to invite them into a safe space where they don't have to pretend that they don't have something or pretend that their loved one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
They can feel safe about repetition that would happen, lack of filter that might happen, and they know that it's going to be programmed with things appropriate, at least ours is, things appropriate for somebody living with dementia. And guess what?
What?
The things that are appropriate and healthy for people living with dementia are appropriate and healthy for all of us.
Who doesn't want social
alone? Don't have to recreate anything.
Yes, so our aim is always cognitive resilience and reclaiming joy, period.
Oh,
that is our aim.
Get the pen out. Alicia, I was here last week without you because you were being civically minded, or 2 weeks ago, and they said something like, get the pen out. And then I was like, wait, Alicia's not here. So, okay, say that again. Say those.
Okay, our mission, social engagement, is cognitive resilience.
That's it, cognitive resilience.
And reclaiming joy. Yes.
I love that.
So these care partners, and again, person living with dementia and the person caring for them, they get to come 1 to 2 hours for a fabulous social outing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's support because you're being with these other people and you're getting to know each other. You're seeing who you click with. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden after that, because I'm out there making sure people are welcoming and engaging for people living in dementia, you hook up with your new friends that you just met and you go to a museum or you go to a show or you go shop because you've met.
So you can create sort of double dates, if you will.
Double dates. Oh, I love it. Now I'm going to write that down.
You're the one who said hook up and our teenagers would be like, oh, what's happening here?
Yeah,
so, okay.
Yeah.
So when you say hook up, do you mean and then go? Who's doing the go part?
Well,
they're self-organizing.
Yeah,
I think.
We actually over COVID did Memory Cafe on the go, and actually Kendall was over it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they would do is you know, it's like it's an event. You get four couples, eight people, you all meet over at the Margaret Gallery in Hillsborough, which is a dementia partner.
That meet. We're,
yeah, or an out,
there?
Outside.
Oh, no, they're partnered. So the care partner is taking the friend living with dementia.
I see.
So it's like... dad's not living with dementia, but it's like if me and my dad and you and your husband who's not living, but say they did, and the four of us just we've met each other and we're like, hey, either we do the organized memory cafe or because we've met each other, be like, hey, Alicia, why don't we go and sit outside, Weaver Sheet Market or something.
Yeah, you'll say, what? I was over, I saw that pizza joint had a dementia friendly decal on its window. Let's go there. Because they're going to. Yeah.
And so how often are the memory cafes?
Right. So we are doing them quarterly right now because we've just launched a respite program, which we're going to talk about next.
That's the third one. Okay. So you were doing it. So you're doing it quarterly.
Yeah.
And how do people find out about it?
They're in our caregiver newsletter or in the Endless Possibilities. But I have to tell you, there's Dementia Alliance and there's... Duke Family Dementia Supports out there that both have, they're regional, right? So therefore, like, you know, Wake County, Orange County, Durham County, so it's a big region. Okay. Everybody has the ability to get on their newsletter. I get them. Yes.
Yeah, I get their newsletter.
Okay. They're fantastic. So memory cafes, there's our memory cafe, there's Nasher Art Walks, there's the Jewish for Good Cafe.
So there's a number of them. So while you run yours quarterly, there's others. So if you're really paying attention, there might be something weekly.
All the time.
Yes. Yeah. And
is there a marking, like, how do we know the places that are dementia?
They should, if they go through a training, they'll have a decal.
And they'll put it on the window?
Yes, because of course, they're marketing to the, they went through this training and...
Okay.
Yeah, and I will tell you, the cafes, we all talk, we all support each other, we collaborate, and we're trying to space them so those resources are available and not competing with each other.
I didn't mention one.
Snow Approach Foundation has one in Hillsborough.
Tipa Snow. We're going to get Tipa on in the new year.
So like we're out there. We're here. We're a family.
Mm-hmm. And people are involving and being open up to it, and they're participating.
Most of the people that attend our social engagement programs also attend these other ones I just mentioned.
And that's probably how they learn about it, because you come to one and you think, oh, this is really neat and helpful. What else do you have going on? And then maybe this is a good segue. What else do you got going on there?
Yeah. Well, you know, Orange County, we're age-friendly, and
we are
dementia-friendly. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get the word out, even if it's for neighboring counties, because...
Yes. We want people to have the resources.
Yes, yes. Okay, now the biggie. Now, to me, this is the drum roll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we'll get something.
So we used to have something called the Care Partner Collaborative.
Okay.
I did not host it. It was a really fabulous program hosted by my predecessor. And it was kind of like an extended cafe, right? Care partners came together and learned how to activities that were useful to socially engage at home. Mm-hmm. But they also did it there. What Janice wanted to do, who is the director of the Orange County Department
on
Aging.
Janice. Thank you for the show.
Shout out to Janice.
Thank you for everything.
She said, Allison, I want a respite. I want a respite. And this kind of happened at the same time.
And you'll have to explain what respite means.
Okay.
It's one of my questions for you, which I haven't had to add, which is good because you're saying everything that I've wanted to know about. But what does respite mean?
So respite means a break from something challenging.
Mm-hmm.
A rest from a hard activity.
You didn't even know I was going to ask you that. And you're just a walking dictionary.
Got it.
Beautiful.
This is my life right now.
I'm loving it.
Okay, so it is
a rest, a
break.
Yeah. So, right. So now, I saw Daphne Johnston, who is the founder of the Respite for All movement.
Now, when you say respite, is it an acronym or is that just what it's called?
No, respite is, it's in the dictionary. It's okay. a word.
It's okay. the experience okay. of, like, here you need respite. You know,
yes.
it's kind of like R&R,
okay.
rest and rejuvenation
yeah.
or respite from what you're doing.
Yes.
Or respite from, yeah.
Right. I didn't know if you're using
no,
that or an
one,
acronym.
Yes,
no,
it's
now,
so
the
true.
The acronym I may slip and use is RFA, which is Respite for All. Anyway,
family
Respite
approach.
For All.
Okay.
RFA, that's what it is.
Okay.
That's an acronym. So I saw this webinar with Daphne Johnston probably a month before Janice saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it and fell absolutely in love because she it's a volunteer-based model. It's volunteer-powered. It's one-to-one ratio. And it's a huge... She's been doing it 10 years.
Mm.
5 years ago, they created a foundation, and it's sweeping across the nation.
Wow.
Okay,
we're
going
to have to watch these videos,
wow.
too. We have so much
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah. So I loved her. I got her book. I'm researching. I go and sit with Janice, and she goes, Allison, have you seen? And she
I
had seen
see
the
that.
Same thing. I said, so of course we did the scream. I jumped up. I went in my office. I grabbed the book I bought on my own, bring it in. I said, look at this, Janice. I got the book. She's
already.
Like, this is what we have to do. So in walks a very generous donor.
No, just by chance.
Just No.
Here's the fundraising arc.
Okay.
In walks the story, not the office.
Okay.
But somebody who I know.
Oh, literally, I thought you meant in walks in the office.
No.
I'm very literal. For as creative as I think I am, I'm so, I don't get
I
metaphors. Like, you have to just tell them. Okay,
yeah.
So then.
So somebody who is a big fan of the department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A friend of the department, a volunteer,
mm-hmm.
And had a loved one
mm-hmm.
living with dementia and was the caretaker for 6 years. Has said, I think I want to do something. I think I want to give a donation. Can I talk with you guys? And so here, Janice and I are totally on board with this Respite for All.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to her about it, and she gave us seed money to make it happen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just like that?
Just like
that's
that.
When you know it's supposed to happen.
This is such a kismet, the universe blessing you with
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it started. I went to the Transform Conference there, met Daphne.
In Alabama.
In Alabama.
Cool.
Met Daphne. And really, it was like, it was so, I did not disagree with one thing. Do you know how sometimes you
everything
look at something and you're like, oh, that's great. Do I have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to tweak it? There's not one little thing I
wow.
wanted to tweak about this.
You're like, I want
it.
In.
Yeah.
I want all of this.
We
yeah.
were forced to do a little tweaking because this is a faith-based ministry.
Mm.
And so we're a secular
right.
Mm-hmm.
organization. So... But we also, I'm sure you've heard about Project Engage and the
mm-hmm.
senior resource teams. We
yes.
have a faith-based senior resource
That's
team.
That's right.
So mine and Janice's idea was, okay, we're going to become an incubator. We're going to take
Good.
This model.
Gosh, I love you all.
And we're going to implement it. And then once we're up and running... We're going to incubate to faith-based organizations.
And that's in the map. That's an MAP.
I love it. That's
yes.
a master aging plan
mm-hmm.
is
yes,
what she's
is.
Referring to.
Oh,
that
sorry.
Is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me again
wow.
do another shout out to the Orange County Department on Aging. There are stereotypes that I do not want to promote, but I'll say it, which is, you know, bureaucracy, government workers, people who have had the same job for 30 to 40 years and they're not willing to try new things. Here, our government staff, our bureaucracy, if you will, in air quotes, the people, the government representatives who run Orange County Department on Aging, many of whom, including Janice, have been there for more than 30 years, are constantly innovating, are constantly looking for new ways, and I love everything
mm-hmm.
about this and story.
That's what I like about what exactly what you're saying. They have not gone stagnant.
Mm-mm. Exactly.
They
Thank you for saying.
Going with.
Okay, you guys. I'm going to tell you right now.
Just tell us, not our listeners.
No,
just
no.
Tell us the secret.
It's Janice.
It
Janice
is Janice.
Supports entrepreneurial thinking. I am not your typical government employee. I am.
Tis true. I've been around you for a
I'm
long time.
I'm a mover and a shaker, right? Janice supports it. Janice is like, we want this. And so does Kim.
She's
She's a how.
We're not supposed to say
can it. Can we do it?
She's make not a can happen. We do it. She's a how we
make
yeah.
it happen. And I make it happen.
Yeah. And yeah. and also I have to give Kim my the.
Oh, aging, I know. We have not loved on Kim enough.
Yeah. We got to love on Kim because Kim will let people when Kim sees you have the skill, you've got the drive. She says, "Do it." And she moves out of the way.
Good. No micromanaging.
Kim, who's been on multiple time aging transitions administrator, yeah. and then we mentioned Kendall, who's the elder yeah. care resource social worker. We've also had Marie mm-hmm. Dagger. So we've had so many yeah. of the team members. Mm-hmm. We haven't had Lydia on yet.
Oh, you have to.
I know.
You have to. You have to.
That's
but
her.
But you guys, but not just moves out of the way, but supports and says, "What do you need? How can I help?" Like completely there, mm-hmm. and then congratulate you. Wow, mm. this is amazing. You're doing good. So that is very, very important.
That is.
Okay, so now that we define, I feel bad. Now that we, because I realized I took us on a tangent of defining respite. Oh. Tell us about the,
okay,
program.
The program.
So fell in love with it. What is it?
Why is it so special? It is really special, you guys. So it again is all about cognitive resilience mm-hmm. and reclaiming joy. Mm-hmm. And the Respite for All is a three prong. Their logo is three sprigs of rosemary with a big heart in it, okay?
Oh my gosh. Wait, I feel like I have to draw. Though I don't like rosemary.
I can
That's
send
a whole other
you this.
Story. Oh,
I can
okay.
send you.
Got
rosemary
it.
Is an herb associated
yeah,
with
like
memory.
It. Right. And
is that why I am having some issues in my memory issues? Because I really hate rosemary.
Okay, that's so now you know why. So get over it. So.
Okay, go
She's
on,
good.
Go on, go
She's
on, go on.
She's
that,
good.
You know.
Okay, so here are the three-part model. We have the person living with dementia.
Right.
Person living with dementia.
We have the caregiver.
The caregiver.
Caregiver, care partner.
Care partner.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And we have the volunteer.
And we have the volunteer.
This is three-part. Now, what people don't understand is people living with dementia mm-hmm. also need respite from their caregiver.
I was going to ask that because I was going to say, who's respite important for? Because I was going to lead to, it's not just the care partner, caregiver, it's the person themselves.
It's the person themselves. And guess who else? The volunteer.
Yes.
The volunteer is now no longer working, typically empty nest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're getting a little over, going to lunch, shopping, mm-hmm. and they want more meaning in their life. Mm-hmm. They need a respite from retirement.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So
go on.
They want something meaningful. So now we have these three people who they come together, mm-hmm. and you go through a very intense training.
I'm looking at Alicia. We just looked at each other. We're doing this training too.
But it does include the Dementia Friends training, so you will have already had that taken care of.
I really thought she was going to say, but it does include food. And I'd be like, okay, cool, I'll come. That people know that's how to get me to true. Anything is if you pee
I'm
me.
There.
All right, okay, so they go through training. Sorry.
So this is what we tell them. So Daphne gives a lot of testimonial examples to help explain this to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one is she has a care partner. Care partners come in, and this person is dropping off her loved one to be at, they call it, well, let's say our place. Yeah. I'm just going to use
right,
an analogy.
Because,
our
okay.
place. And she's just like, you know, she stays for the whole time because she's nervous and she wants to make sure no one's ever done that at our place, by the way.
Yeah.
And then she leaves. And after about three times, the volunteers are like, I'm going to say Jan. Mm-hmm. Jan, you got to go. We got this. You see,
yes.
You know, well, her loved one hadn't spoken. He, you know, lost his words mm-hmm. and rarely spoke. And so she's like, are you sure? Are you sure? And we're like, yes, just try it. So she goes over to her husband and says, oh, honey, oh, John, I love you so much. I am not leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty much crying. Daphne's like, I don't think I love my husband that much.
Yeah.
You know, but so all of a sudden, the friend said, goodbye. Hadn't spoken yet once there. He said goodbye
he's
to
like,
his
I'm
care partner.
He's done with
he's
being
go.
Overly
wow.
helicoptered.
Daphne said it was a huge aha for her. This is very early on. She's been running it 10 years, and she's like, he needs a break.
He needed a
yes.
break.
Because when you come to the Respite for All model, when you come to our place, you don't walk in and get babysat. Nobody's looking over your shoulder. Everybody does everything. There are no bystanders. That's why it's one-to-one.
Thus
wow.
the respite for
I like
all.
That.
Okay, go
yeah.
on. Loving this.
So you come in, and nobody's going to... We do not do bingo. We do not do coloring pages. Mm-hmm. We do poker trivia, which is pretty much bingo.
I was like, what's poker trivia? And by the way, people have mixed feelings about bingo. I love bingo, and I've been to tours. Yeah. I've been to going to places recently, and bingo is packed at places. We very rarely had that at Carol Woods, but because there's such a stigma about it. But I've gone to some other places. Yeah. People love it. But okay, but you have poker bingo, which sounds really fun.
It's poker trivia, and bingo's great.
Poker trivia. Yeah. Sorry, I got...
Okay. Bingo's great if you've got a lot of prizes. Hmm. Yeah. I'll go to bingo for prizes.
Maybe that's it. I'll go anywhere with food, and I will go anywhere with prizes. Yeah. And so, yes, it has to have prizes.
But, we want to spend our money on purposeful play and, recreational therapy and stuff like that.
So poker
that makes work your brain.
Poker trivia is, you get a bunch of poker chips, which feels fun. Mm-hmm. And then you ask all these questions. We do intake, so we have all these profiles. So we know... These people, they are very accomplished.
Right.
Yes.
I think half of them in there are doctors or
makes them motivate. Yeah.
So we'd be like, who's been to blah, 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 blah? Yeah. And they slap that, me. And and the winner is the person who gets rid of most of all of their poker chips first. Mm-hmm. See, so that's very similar to bingo.
And stimulating.
But it makes them feel included.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It makes them feel, it makes... They're remembering. It's kind of tricky, but fun. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Those volunteers get just as into it.
Mm-hmm. And they're playing it, too, because you did show me a video beforehand. Yeah. Alicia, you missed the video. This is everyone.
Everyone.
This is not just...
Nobody...
No bystanders.
No bystanders. So there's that component. But we're also, we talk about this. Brain health is important, not just for people living with dementia, but for all of us. Mm-hmm. At every age.
We all need to be exercising our brain. Apparently, that's why rosemary is important. All right, go on.
Every time you're...
just a little.
Every time you're feeling a little uncomfortable, that's growing a neural pathway, right?
Exactly.
Every time you do something that's not a habit, we change. We go right-handed to left-handed with everything.
I like that.
You're growing a neural pathway. Every time you do cross body, you know this.
I know.
Cross body.
Oh, I did not know that.
You're
so that,
strengthening neural pathways.
That's why you're having... Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm learning the tricks behind
that.
That
is building cognitive resilience.
Thus the Macarena.
Exactly.
Thus the Macarena, baby.
Okay.
Allison.
Allison showed this video of this whole group, this huge group. It was like 25 people.
We tend to have
doing
about 25
the Macarena.
People.
And if you think, for those who don't know, it's that da na 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 na, and you cross over hands over your shoulders and your hips. So just sorry, my neural.
Do you want to use?
I'm learning something new. My neural pathways.
I know. Do you want to use the Christmas one? I have a Christmas one. What all the Christmas?
I want you to mentor me. I.
Okay,
see,
go back. Okay. We got it. But I have
Alicia's
the Christmas.
Very,
I have the Christmas one.
Alicia's very,
the
very
Christmas
powerful.
I don't even know what
but
that
all
is,
the Christmas songs.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. So do all these. Cool
we do
programs.
All. Yes, we do all this. So I'll tell you about a day in.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Okay. Tell us the program of the program. Like,
yes.
What is the program?
Okay, but remind me. I want to tell you a cognitive resilience story after that.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
You write it down.
Okay.
So here's.
And we got time.
Okay. Here's our day at our place. Everybody comes in at 10. Mm-hmm. We have 30 minutes of social time. Mm-hmm. And what that is because people sometimes have a slow day and they can't get out and get there exactly at 10, we don't want to start any formal programming until everybody's there. Because we don't want anybody to feel awkward.
So it's that social time.
It's social time. But it's engaged time with the volunteers. And it's nice because with the care partner memory cafes, what happens is a lot of times the care partner is so excited about chatting with another care partner, the friend living with dementia is kind of just standing there, not at our place. They're the friend. They are engaged. Every volunteer is talking right to them. It is all about, oh my gosh, it's so good.
Inclusive.
It's so good. When the care partners come to pick them up, they're always like, gosh, they're so engaged here.
And I'm trying, because I want you to be able to describe the program. I did have a question about the volunteers. Are they paired up and so they know who their person
is? It's different everywhere. I do tables. So I have table assignments. We have, if you go to a table, then you're not paired up one-to-one with anybody. We don't want a teacher student. We don't want, right?
Got it.
But you're responsible for those friends at your table. If they need to use the restroom, two people go to the restroom.
Oh.
So we have, and that's all done behind the scenes
that's
in training.
That's the training. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the program. And so you have volunteers that will, so they go to the table. So from 10 to 10:30, it's kind of social.
Dominoes. Yeah. It's whatever it's going to be. Then we start with light exercise, which is why I keep telling Alicia she has to mentor me.
We've got to get, okay.
Because yes. We do chair yoga. We do chair dancing. We do rhythm sticks. We do all of these things that get them moving for the morning.
Okay.
Then we go to our cognitive planning section. So that's going to be either a craft project, mm-hmm. a service project, a game. Mm-hmm. We've done Wheel of Fortune. We've done Yahtzee. We call it Rotsy.
I played. Yes. It was really fun. It's like it was like a fun poker dice thing. Allison yeah. literally brought a bag of tricks. I'm happy it's not a TV show. This is a radio show. But you're missing that she brought this whole canvas bag filled with different activities just so I could experience yeah. it. Thank you.
Well, I wanted you to see how they're not baby toys.
Mm-hmm. And so you do, 10 to 10:30, chill out, you know, friendly,
yeah.
connected.
Yeah.
10:30 to 11-ish, you're doing
exercise.
The exercise. Then from 11 to mm-hmm. something?
11 to 11:45, we do this cognitive planning, right?
Got it.
And you see it's a slew of different things. Then we have lunch, but we do it as a community. Everybody helps set the table. Everybody serves the dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, we all eat and it's more just chatting. When it's over, we have people clearing. We're not clearing
for
friends.
Them.
Everybody's doing it.
So they're getting up and moving plates and stuff.
Oh yeah, you saw how they move.
Yeah, I watched this video. It was great. It was and it was unclear in the video.
You never know
who's the person living with dementia, who is the care partner, and who is the volunteer.
Never know.
You can't tell. I mean, I could tell in a few cases. I could guess that the volunteer, because you have some really young volunteers.
We have some
so there
students.
Was a few that were students. I'm like, all right, I'm going to assume that's the volunteer, but.
Everybody wears a name tag, and it's just their first name, and it's this big. And trust me, you know how bad I am with names. I love it, because I never remember anybody's name either.
I actually didn't know you were bad with names, so you hide that well.
It's
so cool, and so now I want to get to some of the housekeeping logistics also. I mean, we have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure. So this is at the Seymour Center.
10 to 2.
10 to 2 when?
Wednesdays.
So Wednesdays from 10 to 2.
It's open door?
No. Oh, you have to register. There's an intake. So just to finish off the day.
Oh, yes. Keep going.
So
we've eaten.
After lunch, we have a movement portion. It's a movement game. We do bowling. We do putt-putt, hole-in-one. We do chair volleyball. We do tunnel of love. We do parachuting.
Wow. I don't know.
That's it's
super fun. You'll have to come see.
Okay.
But we like to have a competitive element to it, because once somebody is diagnosed with dementia, nobody thinks they can compete anymore. And it is really fun to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel ownership. They bond with their table. They bond with their team.
Wow.
We come up with really fun, vicious names for our teams.
Wow.
Oh, they get to just pick names when they're there.
We do. So after that, then we have music time. We all know how important music is for memory.
Very.
Yes.
So we do either live music or DJ dance party or Carafun, where it's like everybody can read the words.
Wow.
Oh, Carafun, like karaoke.
Wow.
But yeah, everyone's
doing
it. I've
never heard of
She's
that.
Saying these things like we all know, but
yeah.
like,
I didn't
that's
know
so
that.
Cool.
Well, let me tell you, it's so much fun. Isabel, the person who runs our lunch program, wants us to get her at 1:30, because that's when we do. And she comes down and dances with us.
She loves to dance.
Right, she loves to dance.
So, party at the Seymour Center Wednesdays from 10 to 2. Okay, so then you
party
do this movement time. And then where are we in the day? Is that the end of the day?
No, end of the day is music.
Oh, then that's music.
1:30 to 2 is music. And then friends come back in, and quite often they come dance with us.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes they don't want to leave in the morning. They're like,
wait, what do you mean your friends?
Stay.
Your friends were already.
Friends. I mean my care partner
your
friends.
Partner
my
friends,
care
they
partners.
Come back. No, you're saying.
Wait. I'm confused. I got confused.
They
were they separated out at some point?
Well, this is respite.
Mm-hmm.
So they get 4 hours off.
Right.
I was so confused for
a
second because you said there are three people with respite, so I thought they were there.
No. So
that's why I got confused.
You know what? I believe I confused you. They get to drop off their friend. Mm-hmm. A respite program, by definition, is you get to leave the person.
That's what I thought. And then when I heard that it's respite, but it's because it's respite for three people. So the participants, it's the individual living with brain change and the volunteer.
Yes.
And then for 4 hours, the care partner gets off. Yes, that's what I thought.
Within the 13 weeks, we've done this.
Wow.
Because it launched in early September. Wow. We did a lot of stuff in August, so it almost launched then, you know, but we've seen improvement. It's unbelievable
With the participants.
And that's why I want to tell you one story.
Okay, yes. Tell the story about cognitive resilience. Yeah. I almost said resistance. Cognitive resilience.
Yeah, so this is another respite for all story from Daphne. So, you know, in Alabama, there's like 20 of these over there, right? Because it's spread. She says, I think it's Jackson Hospital, the neurologist there who's the big wig that sees everybody living with dementia.
Okay.
He said one of his folks came in and he did this some testing and he saw an improved score. And he's like, well, that's odd. So he kind of just, you know, didn't think about it. And then a few weeks later, another patient comes in and he sees improved scores. And he's like, I'm going to have to look at that. Like he took a little pause. Mm-hmm. By the time the third person came in and he saw improved scores, he was like, he called a care plan meeting. he said, I need their files. We need to see what's in common with these. It's not a mistake. I want to know. And so they all were at respite for all. So he calls up Daphne and the other founder and he said, I need to know what y'all are doing there. Can we come meet? And they said, sure, you know, come on over. And he gets there and he goes, you all are doing what medicine has not been able to figure out yet.
Oh, my gosh, which is to slow or reverse
it's improving cognition. This program improves cognition. That's not curing dementia.
No.
But that's holistic.
Do you also wonder, I'm not a medical doctor or researcher, but I do wonder if there's the cognitive issues and then there's the overlay of depression and social isolation. And so it's not that, because, you know, we don't want to do hope of, well, this will take away dementia, but that it's taking off the layer of depression and isolation that wasn't allowing someone to truly
It's doing both. It's doing exactly that. Mm-hmm. But our planned programming is growing neural pathways.
Oh, so it legit
is
okay.
So you've heard the whole, there's a plaque, right?
That's right.
And a tangle, and it's a brick wall. But the brain is brilliant. So it will find a new way around it. Yeah,
that's right.
So that's cognitive resilience. We teach that in Dementia Friends. Well, if we keep growing those and strengthening those neural pathways, then they're getting better. That's not doing anything. The plaque is still there. The tangle is still there.
But
they're growing their resilience.
Didn't even know that. And it's embarrassing. I've done all these brain things and didn't realize that. Okay. I'm very aware of the clock because that's my job. We have 3 minutes left. Okay. And I want to make sure that people know a little more details about, can anyone join this? You said there's assessment process. So if any of our listeners were like, I want this for myself, I want this for my loved one, what do they do next?
This is the requirement for this social model, for Respite for All social model. You must still be able to ambulate. You must be able to, you can have a walker, but somebody is not going to push you in a wheelchair.
Got it. Okay.
So there's that. You must use the restroom on your own. Okay. You can wear support and depends. But nobody is going into a bathroom with you,
Got it.
You cannot require meds to be passed the 4 hours you're with us.
Okay.
You can be on a million medicines, but you're not going to get a medicine when you're with us. You must be able to feed yourself. You don't have to eat if you're not hungry, but nobody is going to feed you.
Got it.
And then the fifth one, we call these windows. The windows have to be open, and they can start to shut, and we'll work with you, is you must be able to get along in a group setting. And that means that you being in that group is not going to require so much attention from volunteers that you're taking away from the rest of the group.
Got it.
It doesn't mean you can't wander a little.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're not a little rowdy. We'll work with you. But at the point in which you're taking too much of the other volunteers' time, it's time that window closes. And those are the requirements.
And are there costs for this?
Now, the Respite for All model, that's a ministry that we're going to incubate has a 40-day dollar cost. And that's
$40 a day cost.
And that's to cover the food.
Sure.
Because, but we have a federal program, congregate meal program.
Yes.
So we don't need that. And we're all, you know, and it's also to cover the cost of the director.
So how much would a person have to pay?
If you were going to one of these other ones, $40.
If you're coming to Orange County with our 1 minute left, you have, there's no cost.
It's a $20 donation.
Oh, okay. A $20 donation.
Not required.
Donation.
It's an optional donation. And that is so that when my grant runs out, we can still buy these robust programming resources, but it's not required.
And then do you have to be a resident of Orange County?
We definitely are focusing on Orange County here. While we're waiting for some of these other counties to expand, there might be a one-on-one exception, but for all intents, it's for Orange County residents.
Orange County, so if they're interested, and are you still accepting other participants, or are you all filled up?
Well,
we have a full room.
Yes, we have 12 participants, and I'm willing to go up to 14 at this point.
Okay, so if people are listening, do they call that main number that I give them, 968-2070?
Yes.
919-968-2070. And as always, you can go on the website, orangecountync.gov/aging. I hate to do this, in your 1 minute left, or we're already a few seconds over, Allison, what else have you not shared that you needed to share about this program? Because we were rambly with you.
Oh, no,
you weren't rambly. I was rambly.
We're all rambly. Thank you for letting me talk about it. Come by the Seymour Center. Talk to me if you want. I feel like... you know, we just want people to embrace this new way forward.
Hey, this was so wonderful. Allison Smith from the Orange County Department on Aging, thank you. And to all of our family caregivers that are listening, yes, November's for you, but really, our hearts always go out to you. We want to be supportive, and our support for everyone who is in Orange County or wherever you're listening, and we are all aging well together. And with that, thank you.